Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And is prophecy becoming a reality? As yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. We can see it unfolding before our very eyes. And it's wonderful because we know that every day we're getting one day closer to that great event when Jesus returns and we will see him face to face and we will be like him. So I'm looking forward to that day. Let's see, I have a scripture verse before we start anything else here. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yes. Well, good morning to everyone there in the chat room. See, we've got Dale from Michigan. Lovely chemtrail skies there in Michigan, he says. Michigan being my home state. I grew up around the Detroit area, born in Ann Arbor. And haven't been there in quite a while. Yeah, moved away a long, long time ago. I think it was the cold weather that chased me away. But I don't get to travel much these days unless I want to travel by automobile all the way there because the government airlines won't let me on. So that's trying to get some ID, passport, but now we got that thing going in the courts there, and they're dragging their feet, all of the Jesuit coadjutors that work for the Antichrist, and every part of our government are carrying out his wishes to persecute and strip away the rights, especially and privileges and welfare benefits of anyone who will not go along with the Antichrist. So anyway, it's good to see you there. Come on over if you're listening live to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. And let's see, we don't have any. We have Mark over in the YouTube chat room all by himself there. What is the name of the tune that leads your stream, he says? It's called Exodus. Yeah, that's the name of it. It's called Exodus, the instrumental piece there. That's what it is. Okay, well, here we are on day 247. 100 days here or there, what's the difference, right? No, day 247 of the Lockstep Monster March to the Mark of the Beast. Let's see, what do we got going on today? This is the virus, the weapon being used to usher in a communist takeover of the United States. Yes, I dare hope that all the peoples who have lived through communism will understand that communism is to blame for the bitter pages of their history. You know, and that's what all of the progressive so-called liberals in the United States think. They think that communism is going to bring their utopia. But they aren't taught history in the public school system. It's public schools. They don't teach true history, because if they knew true history, they know that wherever communism rises, millions of people die. That's right, are wiped out, are eliminated by the state, and the state takes total or totalitarian control of every aspect of your life. And it is bitter. But it is the Antichrist's favorite form of government because he wants to subjugate everyone on the whole planet, on the whole face of the earth. And that is why the present man of sin, sitting over there in the Vatican, is gleefully happy at this time. And he thinks that this is the time for the Great Reset. He has his coadjutors over there at the World Economic Forum who met in Davos every year for the last so many years. And if you read their agenda, I've subscribed to their website so that I get regular updates on the moves of the Antichrist New World Order and how they're progressing and what kind of mind control they're sending out over every avenue and medium available to control the minds of those who are under their control, which seems to be most of the world, even here in the United States of America. Now, let's see. So there's been much talk over the years, and many have claimed that communism is dead. I don't know if Bernie would agree with you and or anyone on the left, and especially those that Joe Biden, I mean, you know, he is an agent of China. China, by the way, where the Antichrist has total control. Yeah, total control. As a matter of fact, I think the Antichrist Church in China is probably the most popular and the one that is upheld by the state. That's right. Well, if only we could teach these young people history, true history, that how many people die when communism is implemented in a nation. And maybe they don't care. Maybe they think we all deserve to die. You know, all of us people that cherish liberty and have enjoyed the freedom and liberty that was established in this country so many years ago, but which the Antichrist and his shadow government have been tearing down at every turn. And it seems they're escalating their efforts right now. And we'll see what happens with this election. I can't, you know, it's kind of a toss-up for me. I don't know. Would it be better if Biden became the president and then, you know, then the opposition could rise up and affect something in this country? Because, you know, it seems that the Antichrist and his shadow government have willingly or unwillingly pushed Trump around, manipulated him into doing their will. I mean, he's out here last week or something bragging about the vaccine, you know. And just go, this is just all wrong. Yeah. And what about that vaccine? Yeah. Well, I, for one, not going to be experimented upon with a brand new type of vaccine that's never been used before in the history of the world. Yeah. I don't know what the outcome will be 2 years down the line, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. I believe we already know what the outcome has been of recent vaccines throughout, you know, that have been used, especially as of in the last 20 years or so, where they've really ramped up the regimen and the schedules, where and they multiplied the vaccines and put who knows what in them. We have all these new diseases, and you know, I believe Bill Gates. Yeah, I believe Bill Gates. You might find that an astounding statement. Something that you thought you'd never hear from me is that I believe Bill Gates. When he said that through vaccines, that his intent is to reduce the population of the world, I believe him. Yeah, I believe that statement's still out there. His TED Talk is still out there. I don't think they've deleted that one yet. But I believe him because I see it's working. It's working very well. Now, let me check on the chat room, see if anybody's shown up. Well, we got a few people showing up. And, you know, watching some of the Senate hearings, I believe, that where they're talking to these two guys, Facebook and Twitter guys out there, Facebook and Twitter guys. Yeah, those guys, those multi-billionaires. They're just up there, stone cold, stone faced, deflecting every question that's put to them. And I know they're shadow banning, along with Google, shadow banning First Amendment Radio, because we should be growing, but we're not. We were growing exponentially through the first decade, until about 2008 when they started using new algorithms. Yeah. Let's see. Fascism is the new communism. Well, fascism. When people think of fascism, they think of Hitler, the National Socialist Party. Well, the Democrats are the National Socialist Party in America. They are. And the Republicans are what the Democrats used to be. There's no real true conservative party anymore. Yeah, no true conservative party in America anymore. And it's too bad that we have party systems should have been outlawed by our Constitution. I agree with George Washington and his farewell speech and just, I think, everything he said. Yeah, he railed against parties and he railed against foreign entanglements. And he was right about all of it. Yeah. Yeah, he was a realist, if not a prognosticator of the future. And it's too bad nobody listened. And now we have these two parties. One is aligned with the enemies of America. And like I said, they are the new National Socialist Party. That's it. And so we don't want to see them in, but because, I mean, will we have police? Will it be like it is in New Zealand and certain provinces of Australia here? Yes. Mercury falling in the chat room says, yeah, fetus DNA in the vaccines. That's right. That's right. Fetus DNA in the vaccines. And, you know, I wonder about the Jews. They have no problem taking vaccines, but they won't eat pork. God. It's unclean for us to eat pork. But you could put anything you want in the vaccine. Yeah. Any unclean thing that would violate their law if they were to put it in their mouth. But, oh, shoot it directly into our bloodstream. Well, that's a different story. Yeah. I don't believe you for a minute. So, anyway, I'll be here, you know, 15, 20 years from now. I don't know how long it's going to take people to start falling dead from this DNA modifying vaccine. Yeah, brand new stuff, man. So, if you believe in the science of man, if you believe in scientists like Fauci and Bill Gates, oh, he's not a scientist, is he? Oh, yes, Bill Gates. What a guy, man. From computer viruses to viruses that he wants to pump right into your bloodstream to train your body how to create its own viruses. Yes, and perhaps if we do a really good job with vaccines and other stuff, we can reduce the population by 10%. Believe me, he was being modest when he said 10 or 15%. What he really meant was down to 10 or 15%. I think that's what he really was shooting for, because that's the number they're throwing out there, you know. I think a half a billion is their perfect number to have their utopia on Earth. But it will be a hell if they were able to get what they want. And I think they're right. Joe Biden's vaccine czar or COVID czar or whatever the guys they're calling him. Yeah, he said it's going to be COVID hell. That's what they want to make. And this is not about fighting a virus. It's nothing like that. This is about the Great Reset. That's what they want. And of course, you know where that comes from. It comes from the fascist Germans over there at the World Economic Forum. And what's the guy's name? I like the way David Knight puts it, the James Bond villain, you know, taking over the world, Klaus Schwab or something like that. And you just listen to that guy and you go, yeah, he's that guy, all right. He's the one. He's that James Bond villain that wants to take over the world. He's the right character. He's saying the right things. He has the right accent. I'm speaking as a German descendant of Germans here. Yeah. Yeah, very much German blood running through my veins, my ancestry here. So, Dr. Boyd Haley, has the evidence to leak mercury? Yeah, well, the evidence is not good for anything. You're just a conspiracy theorist, you know? Evidence, we don't use evidence anymore. We want wishful thinking. Yeah, it's just think pleasant thoughts. Otherwise, you're an enemy of Moderna vaccines, of our RNA morphing vaccines that will change the human race forever. This is all about transhumanism, you know, and the new world order that you're against our utopia. Yeah. Watch your language. Uncle Algorithm is listening. Yeah. You know what? It's just a matter of time before they remove everything I'm doing. There are things to think about there. It's like, you know, I was listening to, I believe it was Butch Paw, and he was reading what's his name over there at Amazon is making like 180,000 dollars a second because of his monopoly on internet sales. Yeah. And, you know, there's something wrong with the whole, these people that got into the internet and hired the right people to build their websites early on, you know, and now they have all of this money, you know, and while the rest of us are losing our jobs, especially, and then the Great Reset has already begun. I'm sorry. We're not waiting for the Great Reset. This is the Great Reset. They're just, you know, they're just putting on the mask. Boy, oh boy, there's a pun for you. They're just putting on a COVID mask so that you don't see it for what it really is. But the 2020 panic is the Great Reset. That's what it's all about. And to bring about the Great Reset, we must destroy. Klaus Schwab knows it. Bill Gates knows it. The Antichrist and his shadow government know it. And all of those lockstep monsters know it. They know that the economy of America must be destroyed. That's right. The economy of America must be destroyed. And that is why they're going about to destroy it. Otherwise, you know, with the liberty and the wealth that America has enjoyed, they could never bring about the Great Reset unless they bring it about in the New World. Because that's where the New World Order has to emanate from. The United Nations is the New World Order. And this is the 2030 agenda. This is the last decade push to bring in their agenda on time. That's where we're at. This is it. To bring about the march to the mark of the beast and total control under a one-world monetary system, the Great Reset. You will own nothing You will know nothing and you will be happy. Yes, you will be happy. We will make you be happy owning nothing. That's the key. Yes, this is the new Nazi Party. The new National Socialist Party is the Great Reset. These people, Hitler had nothing on these people. Hitler wished he had the tools that they have now. Yes, the internet, the total technocracy, the ability to change elections worldwide. Well, you know, I'm praying for Donald Trump and that they out this whole election thing, and perhaps we can have a little revolution here in America and at least hold it back on this side of the Pacific. I don't know how it's going to be. I mean, I would like to maintain as much liberty. And it always brings me back to that two-horned earth beast with those two horns, those two opposing divisions of power. You know, unlike the Medes and the Persians, you know, that was another two-horned beast of history. But it was a division between the Medes and the Persians. In America, we have two horns, one described as lamb-like and the other as dragon-speaking. And we could clearly see them. We see this struggle here that it's like an even battle. We don't know who's going to win. Okay, we think somebody's going to win. But is anybody going to win? If we are blessed, we will be able to keep some kind of an equilibrium going here. You can see the power goes to one side a little more than the other, and it goes back and forth, and it just kind of seems to kind of vacillate there at an equilibrium. And perhaps that's the best we can hope for, because I don't see anything else in the prophecy to lead me to believe that one horn gets up higher than the other, but this struggle remains constant until Christ comes. So I guess that's the best we can hope for. But that doesn't mean that we can't be hurt or we won't be, because I've seen people in the United States go to prison for their faith. Yeah. Have their children taken away to punish them for exercising that faith, to become destitute, to have rights and privileges and immunities stripped away. I've experienced that myself. Yeah, I can't travel on an airplane anymore. I can't even get an ID from the government anymore unless I bow down and worship, unless I sign the agreement. Yeah, but I can't. I can't agree to something that violates God's law. Yeah. Dark winter. Yes, indeed. I heard the words come out of his mouth myself. Okay, we're going into break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And, of course, in the second hour, I believe we're going to continue our exposition of my latest book, and that is Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. Be back in a few.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. We're going to continue with news headlines and such in this segment, and looking at the chat room here, questions, comments are welcome. In the second hour, we're going to go back to our Audible version of my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and we'll continue on that, so you want to stick around for that. Let's see, Cheery Guy, yes, Joe Biden, that Cheery Guy, promised us a dark winter and a COVID hell. COVID hell, those were the words of his selected COVID czar or vaccine czar or whatever they're calling Fauci these days, yeah. Like he knows the end comes nearer with every imaginary person that votes for him. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay. Let's see. Voter fraud. Couple charged after submitting thousands. Yes. Thousands of fraudulent voter registration forms. Two have been charged with 41 counts of various crimes after allegedly submitting thousands of fraudulent applications for voter registration. And yeah, I'm sure that they were voting for Trump. What do you think? No, it's funny how they're all of these people committing fraud, and the fraud is always on the side of the communists, of the Antichrist and his shadow government and his agenda. Yeah, it's always on the side of evil because evil cheats. It's part of their creed. Yeah, see, they're not going to burn in hell for cheating, are they? Or they're already going, so they don't care anyway, you know? So that's the way that works. So anyway, that's in thepostmillennial.com, that article, if you're interested in that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Let's see. Trump can cement his legacy by ending the Afghan war. What a show there. Yeah. Every time Trump talks about, mentions finally doing it, something always comes up. It's amazing. Just simply amazing. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. BLM counter protester who attacked Trump supporter at Million MAGA March. So they, guess that was organized by Band.Video and InfoWars over there. And they had quite a march over there. Even President Trump even did a drive-through for them, I guess. And then some BLM, Black Lives Matter people came and started attacking some of them and are being prosecuted, or at least they're threatening to prosecute them. DC police are asking for help identifying suspects in weekend assaults. And I guess this is where it's fun that everyone has a camera and can take video and pictures everywhere they go on their stupid phones. Yeah, smartphones, stupid phones. Yeah, so anyway, what else we got? Let's see. Kaylee McKenna, somebody, is asked if Trump will be at Biden inauguration. And she probably said, what Biden inauguration? Yes, he hasn't even been declared president yet, or president-elect. So that isn't going to happen until the 15th of December when the electors meet, because we don't vote for our president in this country. The vote is only traditionally, I don't know, why do we vote for a president then? Why is there even a president on the ballot? Well, I guess it's so people can speak to their electors or their state representatives who choose the electors, so that the electors can take into consideration. Yeah, that's the truth. It isn't a pure democracy here. Sorry. So we're still waiting to see what happens by December 15th. And just, can you imagine in the olden days, like early, when all they had was the Pony Express, maybe? I mean, what a boon it must have been when they started having a railroad from the East Coast to the West Coast for counting votes. Oh, look at, I mean, you know, the evil would have loved it then. It probably was at work then, yeah, even messing with the vote back when it was all Pony Express and, or by stagecoach and then trains. And you think of people waiting, you know, with bated breath. No, they were waiting for the newspaper to come back a month or several months later with the news of who the president was, you know? I mean, now people have it instantly. And you go to Facebook, you say anything about the election, and they are on Twitter or Facebook, and they put up, the AP has called the election for, you know. Well, hey, why isn't it what I have called for the election? I mean, the AP, there's nothing in the Constitution about the AP having anything to do with calling any election. You know, if they're going to tell the truth, a fact check. See, I need to fact check their fact checks and say, the AP has nothing to do with this, but the electors haven't even set to call the election and will not until, I believe, December 14th or 15th, somewhere around the middle of December. So we'll see what happens then. Until then, the election's up in the air as far as I'm concerned. I'm not even going to pretend with the rest of the world that Joe Biden is president-elect. And because there is no office of the president-elect, except for the one Joe Biden just made up. Did they ever have a office of the president? I guess they do after it's been decided. And then you're the president-elect until the 20th of January. So we'll see what happens then. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Will Biden listen to the science? And see, people are asking questions like that. Michael Moore admits the left will attempt a coup. Michael Moore. Yeah. See, horrors of COVID vaccine, the election vote, the deeper you look, the worse it gets. Yes, it does. From John Rappaport, we got a article there. Great author over there, or columnist over there at lewrockwell.com. Today is the day that communism came to an end. Yes, we only wish. Well, I know that the day communism will come to an end, and that will be the beginning of the seventh millennium, the end of the sixth millennium. Yes, then communism will come to an end. Indeed. So, COVID risk now not greater than many of the risks we always face, like seasonal flu. Yeah. Illegitimate president. New York Times lie factory declared absolutely no voter fraud. Well, and they're still saying that. That's a conspiracy theory. That's debated. Yes, that's debated. Whether there's any voter fraud or not, that's a debatable issue. Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's like we just have to wait now and see what happens here, because nobody knows what's going to happen. I do know that if they just declare Biden president and there's no thorough discussion and investigation into voter fraud, I know that half of the country will join me in what I already believed, had happily for many years, that the elections are fraudulent for the most part, yeah, especially on the federal level. Yeah, they've been, your vote doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you vote for. So it would be nice having half of the nation join me in my belief, because I believe they're already there. And especially if Trump really won in a landslide the popular vote, that means most of the nation is with us. Yeah. That's what that means, because they will be disillusioned. However, will they go back to sleep if it's overthrown? Well, then we're going to have rioting from Black Lives Matter and Antifa. But I think that the response is going to be a little different this time. Yeah, if they come back again with all that, I believe the response will be much different. Exciting days that we live in, and very interesting times. It's like every day we get to wake up and go, well, what will it be today? What will happen then? Let's see. WW says, the crowd was pretty huge for Trump by the photos I saw. Yes, there's no comparison whatsoever. Yeah. Let's see. Alex Jones spoke in Washington, D.C., and he had as many people, and this was over the weekend, and he had more people there for him than Joe Biden saw during his whole campaign. And that was for Alex Jones. I don't really care to listen to Alex Jones, but I did listen to his speech, and it was typical Alex Jones. He had a few good things to say, but, you know, whatever. It was interesting. Let's see. 535 people vote for the president. And they can vote how they want to. Yeah, but most of them are, you know, it is known before they're sent who they're going to vote for. Yeah, pretty much, I would say. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, not voter fraud, vote counter fraud. Yeah, voter. Point taken there, WW in the chat room. Okay, well, let's see what else do we have here. I have no questions on my book, or you know what? I was checking out my book. Let me check it out here at Amazon. See if I got one. Nope, don't even have one review yet. So hoping to see some reviews up there from people that have got the book so far, because I know a few people have got it. But you know, it's amazing. It's only 200 pages. It could have been longer, but I whittled down and I tried to get it down there to, you know, in most people's comfort zone of less than 200 pages. I got it down to 193 pages. But I refer you to a lot of other work in there. So if people want more information, then, because I would say the same things about a lot of things that, say, E.B. Eliot says, or H. Grant Tangeny says, and few others. But so anyway, if you've read it or gotten through it or started reading it, some reviews up there would be helpful, because people, if they see no reviews, they think, well, nobody's reading this book. So we'll see. Hopefully people will do that for me. And let's see, is Wacky here? I don't know if I noticed Wacky in the chat room. No, don't see Wacky here. As she was a little antagonistic last week because I did a kind of a review of a book she sent me, and I don't think she was too happy with my review of that book. It's a Presbyterian amillennialist treatise is what she sent me. And anyway, so I gave her a copy of my book to read, since she sent me one of her books. And so I'm hoping I can change some mind. That's the whole point of the book, is to biblically, using the scripture, bring people around to what I believe is clear in the scripture. Okay? Yeah. But hey, I could still be wrong about stuff. But I'm definitely not into deceiving anybody. So, because what I'm looking for is the truth, what the Bible really says, what God by His Spirit meant to reveal to us. And it seems that some things are hidden purposely, and so we can't see everything, but I'm not asking to see very much myself. Because there's a lot of things I don't understand, a lot of things I'm still puzzled over, and I don't believe I'll ever have the answer to until the day that He returns and I'm changed. And then when I see Him face to face, I will be like Him, and I'll understand a lot of things that I struggle with. You know, I still struggle. I can't see God for all that He is, so how can I really even debate something like the Trinity? I can't even debate that. It's not like I've seen God and I understand everything about Him and His character and who He is. I'm too small. I can't comprehend God in His fullness. And for people to write a treatise and say, you must agree with our doctrine on God and the character of God and the Trinity. And I'm going, wow, oh, you know, I'm just not that brilliant, I guess, you know. Because the scripture says no man has seen God and lived. And I believe that no man can see God fully and live, because we just can't comprehend Him. We couldn't take it. So, and I'm happy with that. You know, I believe every word of God, of the Bible, you know, what it expresses. That's what I believe, as much as I can understand it. So, and reading John Calvin on the his institutes, you can learn a lot there. So what he's saying about the Trinity, I'm pretty much going to go with John Calvin. I think he understood more than I understand, obviously, from reading his work. I'm just going, wow. You know, this guy, you know, he understood a lot more because he's helping me to understand. So if you haven't read Calvin's Institutes, it's quite a good read. And, you know, even some things I disagree with him on. It's like he was talking about Genesis and the creation event. saying that everything was... anyway, I'm not going to get into it now, but perhaps I'll get into it later when I'm getting into the book of Genesis. But there's some things, because I don't believe that God created chaos. I think that when he created the universe on the first day, that it was complete order, and it was perfect. Yeah, I don't believe there was any disorder at all, because God didn't create disorder, you know. Yeah, disorder came with the fall, so I'd have to, and I'm not quite sure what, you know, what Calvin was exactly trying to express there. So I don't agree with Calvin on everything, but, you know, on those things like, you know, the character of God and the fullness of God, you know, I can only grasp so much with my feeble human mind. Nothing? Okay. Moving on. Let's see. Need your prayers and your support over here at First Amendment Radio and for my broadcast here across the border and Prophecy Reality, your prayers, your support. And I'm really grateful for those people that have supported us. We've never got a huge gift or endowment like some other people have gotten, hundreds of thousands or half a million or $1 million to... I mean, if I got that much money, I could move forward and hire people to expand First Amendment Radio and the network and the website and all that stuff. But it's kind of hard for, you know, what is basically an operation that depends almost solely on me. Yeah. And a very little bit of support in an environment where we're being suppressed already. But it doesn't matter. Because you know what? God is in control. And I don't need to be big and famous or anything like that. I just need to be obedient. That's it. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's better if more of us can do a little bit more than one of us doing a lot more. That's how I feel. That's how the Spirit of God works. So I'm very happy, yeah, to be where I'm at, and I'm happy to be able to do the little that I'm able to do with the resources that God has given me and us, those of you that add your labor to mine, to be able to do these things for him and invest in his kingdom. You know, talking about giving, I was listening to the pastor on the weekend talking about giving, and our and I just think, you know, one way people never look at it, which is a way I look at it, I look at my opportunity to give to this or that ministry, because I don't just give to First Amendment Radio. What I give to First Amendment Radio and across the border is mostly my own time and my own life, but financially I give to other ministries. But I'm looking for ministries that are good investments, you know, because you think about investments in the world. You want to invest. If you're going to invest in something, you're going to invest in something that gives you the greatest return. So when you invest in God's kingdom, you're looking for ministries that are doing and putting that money into the lives of God's people and reaching out for the elect. And you know, spreading the gospel and helping people, but bringing the gospel with that help, investing in growing the kingdom of God, and that investment that will extend over into eternity. That's the one I'm looking for. So you're looking for the best investments, where to put your dollars in the form of labor, your labor in the form of dollars, I should say, where you're investing in a kingdom that extends beyond the grave. So look for those great investments to invest in God's kingdom, because, you know, this is the only time you get to invest your labor into eternity, man. Yeah. So that's the way I look at giving and tithes and offerings. And I hope that you'll consider that too, if you haven't already considered that. And giving to other ministries as well as First Amendment Radio. Yeah. So we are grateful for those faithful people who faithfully invest here into God's kingdom. Okay, we got a few minutes left. Go over to First Amendment Radio and press on the support button there. Also, share on all your social media. I'm looking for someone that needs some help with all this new stuff, because I want to get away from Twitter and Facebook and go to Parler, and because I don't know which one's the counterpart to Twitter, which one's the counterpart to, because I just don't have enough time to, you know, get into all these things. Yeah, it would be nice. And that's where money would come in. Like if someone like endowed First Amendment Radio with a large amount of money, I could hire a few people to help me on the digital front out there. Because doing it myself, you go to First Amendment Radio page, and it's not where it needs to be. It needs to be new. It needs to be updated. I have basically the same. I'm still using an old HTML editor to do it. You know, it needs to be done. Plus, I'd like to develop Liberty Archives into something else that would be a digital place where liberty-minded people could go and put up their own content. It would be like a YouTube or one of those. With digital content for people that are, like I said, liberty-minded. And I mean talking about true liberty, the liberty of the spirit-minded. So anyway, so hold that in your prayer, because I know that, you know, you guys have been withholding from me. You're multimillionaires out there, and you still haven't made up your mind whether you're going to help us or not. No, really, just pray for us and that God will provide for that vision. Anyway, come back, and we're going to continue that audible version of Reform Prophecy Interpretation. So until we meet again, may the Almighty bless you and keep you. But for the moment, don't go anywhere.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Musty Pugh. If all legal challenges to Democrat voter fraud fail and Joe Biden is elected president, California's governor will have to appoint a replacement for the senator who would become vice president. Black Lives Matter has already sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom demanding that he appoint a black woman to fill the seat. Conservative activist, speaker, and author Candace Owens says she has no doubt that the spineless Democrat will cave to Black Lives Matter.
And he will absolutely capitulate. Black Lives Matter. You know, they haven't been lying about who and what they are. They've been very clear since the beginning. People, the media may have lied about it or may have ignored it. The politicians may have ignored it because they were using them to further their own political goals. But we had the founders and the leaders on stage years ago saying that they view themselves as Marxists, meaning they follow a Marxist ideology. They believe in what Karl Marx believes in. And that really isn't by any means necessary. They will take what they have to take by force. So them writing to him is basically saying, you are going to now do as we say. And I believe you are going to see that Gavin Newsom will do as they say. This is what happens when you don't have a spine to stand up to people in the beginning. You know, when they're rioting and looting and you're calling this a peaceful protest, this is what happens in the end. You start to manifest this idea that they are in power and they are in control, and you are just puppets in office that will do their bidding.
Around the country, Democrat officials are using the coronavirus scare to take away more freedoms from citizens by not only closing businesses and schools, but even threatening families who plan to celebrate Thanksgiving. Oregon Governor Kate Smith has announced new COVID-19 safety restrictions, but newly elected Clackamas County Board Chair Tootie Smith says she'll have a huge Thanksgiving, and she calls Governor Brown a hypocrite for enforcing the COVID-19 freeze.
This is a travesty that's happening in our state. How dare Governor Brown think she's going to come out, send the police into people's homes, and arrest them and fine them for having a Thanksgiving meal with her family, while at the same time, she allows rioters and anarchists to destroy downtown city of Portland? That's hypocrisy.
Speaking on Fox and Friends First, Georgia Congressman Buddy Carter says there is no need for coronavirus restrictions.
We believe in personal responsibility, and that's going to be the key. Look, we all know what we're supposed to do. We've been at this for a while now. We know we need to be washing our hands, watching our distance.
Big tech was on the hot seat in the Senate for round six of the Is Social Media Censoring Conservatives match. Steve Jordahl reports it's no surprise that not a lot of new ground was covered.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has seen this before, five times to be exact. On Tuesday, he sat through his sixth congressional hearing, this one in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where Republicans accused him and his big tech brother Jack Dorsey of Twitter of censoring conservatives, and Democrats accused him of not censoring them enough. Utah Senator Mike Lee was on one side.
You know, while we strive to do as well as possible and be as precise as possible, we will make some mistakes.
Thank you. I appreciate your acknowledgement of the fact that there are mistakes. As I've noted previously, those mistakes sure happen a whole lot more on one side of the political spectrum than the other.
California's Dianne Feinstein was on the other.
The warning label that Twitter has applied to the tweet says, and I quote, official sources may not have called the race when this was tweeted, end quote. Does that label do enough to prevent the tweet's harms when the tweet is still visible and is not accurate?
Dan Gaynor of MRC TechWatch says neither side got much of what they wanted.
The whole hearing was based on how they censor conservative media, and neither Zuckerberg nor Dorsey was willing to admit that they censor conservative media.
And with both multi-billionaires secure in their jobs and safe behind a protective media, Gaynor says they may have gotten away with the greatest theft in history.
If it turns out to stay the way it is right now, Twitter and Facebook cheated so Donald Trump would lose, and they're going to get away with it.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
And stocks are edging higher early today on Wall Street as traders welcome more upbeat news about a coronavirus vaccine candidate. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com and download the One News Now mobile app for your Apple or Android device. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 13, Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future. Continued. The Alien Invasion and Great Battle. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 1:14-15. An alien invasion, government takeover, is coming to planet Earth. Christ's government is going to abolish all of the worldly governments of the earth, and a new government is going to be set up, which will fill the whole earth. And not only is this going to be an alien invasion, but this government takeover is going to be the rule of the immortals, which we will here review more in depth. Let's go to our scripture verse. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Revelation 19:1-2. So before Christ comes, before he has a showdown with the governments of this world, he puts an end to the times of the Gentiles. Of course, Gentiles means nations in the Greek. Before he puts an end to the times of the beast nations to set up his government, he's going to judge the great whore. The anti-Christian church hierarchy will be permanently dispatched. And he has elected a surrogate to put down the great whore for him, the very governments that he is going to face off at the last and final battle of this epoch. Yes, World War III, perhaps, or the final war, in case there's another world war between now and the great battle of God Almighty. But he has elected that ten-horned beast power to turn on the whore and judge her and burn her with fire and practically raise her off the face of the earth before he returns. That seems to be what the scripture articulates, and in that way he judges the great whore. Let's here continue reading chapter 19. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:3-8. While the governments of men are counseling together to meet the alien threat, it may be that we will be celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is another reason why I say it may take months or even years before the battle is engaged when Christ returns. I don't think we're going to spend any time worrying about what the wicked are plotting in the meantime. I just have to add here that the righteousness of the saints is the righteousness of Christ, because by his blood he has imputed his righteousness to us. It's not righteousness that we find in ourselves, but only by that which he imputes. Verse 9. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19:9-14. We, his elect, will be part of the armies that will be conquering the Daniel 2 mystery Babylon image of the nations of this world when he returns. 2,000 years ago, Christ laid down his life, and he has called upon us, his church, to lay down our lives in the same way that he did, and the church has laid down their life for the gospel's sake, and many more will lay down their lives for the gospel before he returns. But when he comes again, and we all return with him, no, we will not be laying down our lives any more. Death will be swallowed up in victory. At that point in history, we will have already laid down our lives for the gospel, already laid down our lives at the hand of the wicked. Continuing at verse 15, And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. You notice here the same description of those that receive the mark of the beast, free and bond, small and great. Continuing, And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:15-21. The return of Christ will culminate in a great battle and judgment for the governments of this world. Exactly how is this going to play out? We get an overview, and we get the key element of what's going to happen and who's going to end up where. We read that the great whore and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire. This mystery Babylon whore and her Antichrist false prophet, symbolic for the whole anti-Christian church system, will be abolished forever. Applause here. Nonetheless, when Christ returns, the governments of this world will stand up against him, to fight against him, that alien invasion that's coming. And they will all counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, because they want to break the bands asunder and cast away the cords that bind them or threaten to bind them. They've actually been doing that for many years now, cutting the cords and the bands that bind them, the bands of God's law and even God's people, who just by their very presence convict them of sin for which they have no desire to repent. That is why they hate us. Why does Islam want to kill Christians? Why do the governments of this world, ruled by Antichrist, want to kill true Bible believers? Because they are convicted by their very presence. They are convicted by the righteousness of Christ that is in them. So when the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords appears with all of his saints, who are caught up in that moment, and suddenly appear with the armies of God, this alien invasion that appears in the heavens, all of the world will see him. Then the United Nations will have conferences. The EU will have meetings. They will be very busy at the Pentagon. They will be counseling together, saying, we must band together to fight this alien threat. And they will muster their forces to meet that threat where he appears. That's what is foretold as the Battle of Armageddon. And they will get themselves over there as quickly as possible while they feign entreaties of peace. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all of the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:21. No saints will die in this war. We will have already received our immortal glorified bodies. Just as God spoke the world into existence, everything that is written in the Word of God will come to pass. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth is exactly what this apocalyptic language represents. Some also contend that this remnant represents all of the rest of the unregenerate upon the whole earth so as to uphold the amillennial position, or posit that there will be no mortals left at all to populate the millennium. However, the context requires an antecedent for this remnant, which will be found in the previous verse, 19. They will be a remnant of those that were gathered together to make war against him. Not everyone in the whole earth will be in that gathering. There will be mortals left to populate the earth. Verification for this thesis may also be found in the following verses. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14:16. Continuing to chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Revelation 20:1-3. After the triumph of Jesus' government is completed, Satan is going to be bound for the most part of the millennial reign of Christ, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he will be loosed for a little season. That is the schedule for Satan. If, as some posit, there will be no mortals in the millennium, who will he deceive? He certainly will not deceive the resurrected saints. We are the immortals who have returned with Christ. We were changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, never to sin again, never to even be tempted with sin again, because that was our desire before. That's why we walk in God's kingdom now, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, fearing God and keeping his commandments, out of obedience to Christ, because he loved us first, because he saved us from our sins, because he washed us in his blood, and we love him and desire to please him. When we're changed, we will never even be tempted to sin again. Satan won't be able to deceive the resurrected, glorified saints who are like Christ, who will never know death, sorrow, suffering, temptation, or sin again. But it is written that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed. At the beginning of the millennium, Satan is bound immediately after Christ vanquishes those beast nations that were deceived by him. Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison for a little season, obviously to deceive the nations like he did before the millennium, as he does even now. He is an organizing spirit for evil in the world. He is going to gather them together. He's going to sort them out. Because those that are not Christ at the end of that 1,000 years, when Satan is loosed, they will easily follow Satan when he appears. Those that believe not the gospel of Christ, even with him ruling and reigning, with his resurrected saints on the earth, they will not follow him, nor will they believe in him. They will rebel as soon as Satan is let out of his prison for that little season, because they have harbored and nurtured rebellion in their hearts. They will join him and easily fall into the temptation, the very temptation that the man of sin and the governors of this world have fallen for in the past. All of these kingdoms will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And they will fall down and worship him and join him, and the evil thought will enter into their mind that they can overthrow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the government of his saints centered in Jerusalem. So even after experiencing the perfect government during the reign of Christ, when Satan is loosed out of his prison to deceive the symbolic Gog and Magog for a little season, those people will go over to his side and will start making plans to take over and conquer Christ and his immortals. And they will try. They will compass the camp of the saints about, but they will fail. Never again will they have power over the saints as they did before the millennium. They will not be able to kill us. What is the true post-apocalyptic world going to look like? The scripture gives us some clues, a little insight into the reign of the immortals, how we will humbly rule the earth without the contrary influence of Satan and his rulers of evil. We have all these post-apocalyptic fantasies and TV shows that depict how after some contrived catastrophe, it's just a terrible and destroyed world. But it's not going to be like that at all. These authors and movie producers have not read or understood the apocalypse of Scripture. Their post-apocalyptic world is a world without God. It is created without a biblical worldview. It's a figment of their sad imaginations. The post-apocalyptic world revealed in the Bible is going to be a wonderful world without Satan and his rulers of evil to spoil it. It is going to be a world ruled by the one who laid down his life for the world. But still, some of the sons of Adam will fail to follow Christ. After 100 years, many will not even believe, just as it was in the beginning, when Adam and Eve had children, and by the time of Noah, when he's building the ark as a last witness to a world that has forgotten all about the Creator, so they will also forget. But they will do it without the organizing spiritual power of Satan and his demons. Therefore, it will be much more peaceful for the most part of that 1,000 years, until that little season. Then it will enter their minds to gather themselves together as an army for one purpose: to overthrow his government. They will compass the camp of the saints about, but they will summarily be destroyed. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20:5-6. This is the first resurrection. When Christ returns, everyone who is part of his elect, saved by his blood, from Adam nearly 6,000 years ago to all of the elect alive and remaining at his return. All will take part in the first resurrection. The second death will be reserved only for those who are resurrected for judgment at the end of the millennium, for all those who died without Christ before or during the millennium. All of those who received Christ's atonement during the millennium will also join the first resurrection elect in glorified bodies to enter into the new heaven and earth in the eternal state. The earth is going to become very populated, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. There will likely be more population on the earth than at any other time in history. The millennium will have the most perfect government under Christ and under his servants, the saints of God. So the earth is going to be filled, and apparently it's going to still be the many and the few. There's going to be a few in the second resurrection that will join us in the new heaven and new earth, in the new Jerusalem, after the millennial reign. But most of them, as the sands of the sea, the number of them, spiritual Gog and Magog, they're going to be destroyed. The Revelation 20 Gog and Magog war is not going to happen next week or before Christ returns. This is the one that happens at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Neither is it a mere recapitulation of the Battle of Armageddon, as the amillennialists would require. This is the final rebellion of mankind before the new heaven and new earth, before the second resurrection, to judge everyone who didn't make the first resurrection, and all of those who were born and lived and died during the millennial reign of Christ. The second resurrection will be for them to be judged. The first resurrection and consequent seventh millennium is a gift to those who faithfully lived and suffered under the evil times of Satan and his rulers of evil during the first six millennia. Now we who are the immortals, we will not be having children or given in marriage during this era. We will be like the angels, just as Jesus said. My advice to all of you that are living now, if you're young, get married, have children, and be blessed. And you will have tribulation, along with the joys and the sorrows that come with married life. But raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and spread the gospel. That is to raise up a godly seed for his kingdom. There's no higher calling for men and women on the earth than to plant and sow into the kingdom of God. Most can do that simply through having families, by living in the kingdom and being a kingdom example to your family and to the world around you.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom
that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Chapter 13, Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future, Continued. The Blessed Epoch. Now the historicist method of interpreting the scripture makes it clear to me what is symbolic and what is not. And I believe, as H. Grattan Guinness believed, as E.B. Eliot and many other of the reformers believed, that the millennial reign is not merely symbolic, but rather as literal as were the 70 years' desolation, the 70 weeks of Daniel, and the 1260 years of the papal infamy. Jesus Christ and his immortal army will be coming together to take over the rule of the whole earth, and they are not going to like it very much. All I can say about the governments of this world, whoever will be president of the United States at that time, whoever is going to be sitting in the seat of the man of sin at that time, whoever is going to be the head of Russia, or all these governments of the EU and the United Nations, few of them are going to be happy to see Jesus when he returns. By that time, most of the people in government that we know, because they're older, like Trump is in his 70s and the present Pope in his 80s, so those guys aren't likely going to be around for another 35 to 40 years. So it will be different, and it'll be more tyrannical and violent from what the scripture says, and especially the revelation tells us, with these three frog-like spirits that had been loose on the earth since the French Revolution, since the sixth vial, in preparation for that great day of God Almighty. These spirits of delusion are going about the earth to infect the minds and hearts of men, to gather them together, that organizing force for evil that Satan is, and those evil spirits are, we can readily observe, as it simply waxes worse and worse. It is astounding how much worse the world has become in my lifetime, how much they've separated themselves from the things of God, how much they've broken the bands asunder, and cast the cords of righteousness of the Word of God and His law from them. So we can see that day is coming, and the present trend will continue until that day arrives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the earth will be filled with violence. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. So it's going to get much worse before Christ comes and they gather themselves together to battle that alien invasion. And it will come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem and worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be a plague, wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and on the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bulls before the altar. Zechariah 14:16-20. The condition of the nations during the millennium, as expressed in the above verses, reveals the blessing of having Satan locked away for the millennial era, that he deceived not the nations during his incarceration. This passage confirms the literal understanding of the 1,000 years in Revelation 20. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Isaiah 25:8. Death will be swallowed up in victory for the resurrected saints who rule and reign with Christ for this epoch. Unlike this present era, his kings and priests, his people, will no longer be the reproach and rebuke of the mortal world around us. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established at the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Micah 4:1-3. These two passages, almost identical in content, depict not the Zionist dream of Judas, or first century rebels that thought to overthrow the Roman government of the day, nor the Zionist dream of the 21st century Jewish nation and the so-called Christian Zionists who worship them as God's chosen people, but rather a time of unparalleled peace when Jesus reigns over the whole earth, absent any of the rulers of evil that make up the nations under satanic deception today. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. Here we see a limited return of the blessed state of the natural world and creatures living in harmony as it was before the fall. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Isaiah 65:20. Infant mortality will be a curse of the past. The return of longevity for mortals, as it was before the flood, will be the new normal during the millennial epoch, a new normal mankind can eagerly look forward to. What will we immortals who make the first resurrection be doing? We will be governing the world. We will be his kings and priests, rulers and governors in the world. We will have all of the administration of the government of Jesus Christ over the whole earth during that millennial reign. Some may ask how people could reject Christ even while he is physically ruling in the earth. To answer that, let's go back to the beginning. Adam and Eve were created by God. They saw God. But after a few generations, people forgot what the truth was, that God created everything, and the whole world fell away. Things became so bad that God destroyed everything with a flood. When Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and his immortals are ruling and reigning with him, that will be the normal then. After a while, people are going to forget. They're not going to believe even what they see or what is true around them. So they're not going to have faith even in the present reality. And they still have to believe in the resurrection because they'll know they're going to die. So people are going to lose faith in the same way that they lost faith in the past. It's demonstrated from the creation account. It's demonstrated from the flood. And Noah and his family who came out of the flood, everyone should have known. Then God created a nation, Israel, led them through the Red Sea miraculously, but they all forgot and apostatized. Nothing's going to change. People are going to forget, even while Jesus is bodily reigning from Jerusalem with his immortals. They're going to question everything. Who are these immortals? Are they really immortal? Because the truth is not in them, they are not going to believe. They will still have to believe by faith that they're going to be resurrected, because people will be born and then die. They will not be immediately resurrected. So faith will be essential then too. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 20:1-4. After the millennium, this creation will be destroyed, and we'll enter into the new heaven and new earth. God is not going to simply recreate what we have here. It's going to be a totally new heaven and new earth creation, with no corruption whatsoever. It will not be the same. All of this is going to pass away. I can believe that by faith now. It's going to take faith on the part of even those who are born, live, and die during the millennial reign of Christ. They are going to have to believe by faith, just like we believe in the resurrection now. And all of the same promises that follow will also require like faith. This is the hope of our resurrection from the dead. Without the resurrection, if Christ be not resurrected, then we are without hope in the world, even as others that have no hope at all. Let them eat, drink, and be merry, but let us be about our Master's business. Many people die without faith in Christ, because they don't believe for whatever reason. Likewise, people living during the millennial reign of Christ, even then, there will be people that will not believe. They're going to see the world around them, and it's all going to seem very normal to them, just as everything seems very normal to us now. People who live through the second coming of Christ, they're going to know like no one else. They're going to know like Adam and Eve knew. They're going to know like the children of Israel going through the Red Sea knew. They're going to know that it was real. But some of the people are going to forget. And then the generations that are born on down the line will forget more. They will question, who are these guys with all the power? Some may become disgruntled, jealous, or whatever their fallen nature will invoke for unbelief. Being they are mortals, they can still be killed or even murder, but they will not be able to kill an immortal, because immortals cannot die. But because of the sin nature, they could kill each other. However, crime will be greatly reduced during the millennial reign of Christ, because there will not be that organizing influence, like the terrible era we are in right now. You can see it in the world around us, how quickly things are changing, how quickly the effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ is losing its hold on the reins of the world, how they're casting off the cords and the ties that bind them down to God's law. Likewise, when Satan is loose for a little season at the end, he's going to gather all those disgruntled, all those unbelievers, all those without faith together, and they're going to think, well, we can overthrow Jesus and his people that are ruling the world. Look at them. They have no weapons or army or anything for defense. With the advent of restored longevity, they will not see or believe in the immortality of Jesus and his rulers, so they're going to compass Jerusalem about. But the scripture says that it's going to be a pretty quick battle, because fire is going to come down out of heaven and destroy them. And yeah, we'll see how that works out for them. Lawlessness is accelerating, and the rule of his people, the effect that Christ and the gospel and his kingdom has had in the earth, seems to be abating as we near the approach of his return. But then it will be different. Satan will be locked up during the millennial reign, and they won't be able to throw his reign off, because Christ will be physically ruling and reigning from Jerusalem with his elect, who are resurrected to join him and govern the entire earth for that 1,000 years. It is likely that the earth will eventually become more populated during the millennium than ever before. During the blissful millennial reign of Christ, there will be far less crime than ever before. Even as murder and other sins can be forgiven, remember Jesus' warning, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit won't be forgiven in this world or the next. Therefore, people will blaspheme in that era. So this is a direct reference to the millennium. People continually turn away from the Holy Spirit's prompt to repent so that their heart becomes so hard. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that I see, where they just refuse to repent continually over and over again so that they eventually can't even hear the Holy Spirit anymore. Question: will Jesus, who will be there in person, punish the mortals for each sin as it occurs? Absolutely not. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3:17-19. Sin, of course, will have individual consequences, much as it does today. As to policing power for violations of the persons and property of others, there will be some accountability. However, with an incorruptible system of jurisprudence, we can expect justice to prevail under the law of God as it would apply to that era. We can expect the sons of Adam to have many of the same failings as they do now, but any system of correction will be much different than what we have now. Many types of sin will be rare in the day of the Lord, but that doesn't mean that men's hearts and minds won't be corrupted, but that it may be somewhat limited as to an outward expression of it, since there will be no organizing spirit for evil in the world. Finally, the 7th millennium will result in a whole new harvest of souls for the following eternal state, the new heaven, earth, and new Jerusalem. God, for his own purpose and for his own glory, has decreed these things in his word. Let us be glad and rejoice. Amen.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. Control of the Senate is expected to come down to the January 5th Georgia runoff elections, when voters could determine if Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler should continue to serve in the upper chamber.
Senator Loeffler discusses her message to voters.
What we're running on is the American dream, economic opportunity that lifts all Americans up. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats right now. This is about the American dream or socialism. I want to reopen our economy as well. I want to make sure that we get relief to hardworking Americans. Democrats want to shut our economy down, and they've blocked relief over and over. We are going to hold them accountable on January 5th.
President Donald Trump announced that he has fired Christopher Krebs, who led the federal government's election cybersecurity efforts. Speaking in an interview on Fox and Friends, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany discussed the potential motive behind this decision.
To come out and say it's the most secure election in American history, that's just not an accurate statement, and it seems like a partisan attempt to just hit back at the president. I don't know if it was a partisan agenda, a personal grievance, what it was, but it definitely seemed to be animated by something, and it seemed to go directly at this president and legitimate claims that he's pursuing in court.
A national defense expert says there seems to be an inconsistency in the vote totals of the 2020 election that need to be investigated. Chad Groening has more.
As we have reported on AFN, Trump attorney Sidney Powell says she has so much evidence of massive voter fraud coming that she can't process it all. Based off that evidence, she says software produced by Smartmatic and Dominion Voting Systems was specifically designed to benefit Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Powell asserted, quote, "We're fixing to overturn the results of the election in multiple states." Bob McGinnis is senior fellow for national security at the Family Research Council and author of Collision Course.
I have no firsthand knowledge of voter fraud. I only know what I read. If true, then it is a pretty serious set of circumstances, and certainly the worst voter fraud incident in the history of the United States.
McGinnis says the courts will have to weigh all the facts.
Will it ultimately go to the Supreme Court? I suspect that it will. If it's credible, then action will have to be taken, whether by the state legislatures or some of the court systems.
McGinnis says there is a lot of risk here.
It is hard to believe, fundamentally, that you had a nationwide vote. The Republicans did extraordinarily, surprisingly well in the House of Representatives. They did surprisingly well in many of these state legislatures. They did better than expected in the Senate. And yet, given that, the margin that was given to Mr. Biden seems distorted. So there's just an inconsistency here, and that needs to be investigated.
I'm Chad Groening.
With a new wave of lockdowns looking like a very real possibility, working parents will again be forced to balance their work with their kids' so-called remote learning. Lauren Simonetti reports public schools
might be solving one problem by creating another. Rosalind Weissman is a parenting expert and the author of the Distance Learning Playbook for Parents.
What young people are feeling is this constant sense of inconsistency, a feeling of basically being nauseous, from anxiety and feeling like, who are the adults in the world that are going to show up?
The back and forth is creating a generation of young people suffering the worst mental health ever, especially among middle and high schoolers, where emergency room visits related to mental health increase 31% since March. That is also a problem for parents, particularly working parents who make up one-third of the labor force and are left juggling it all. Carrie Lucas is a mom of five and president of the Independent Women's Forum.
It's not just about kids. This is also about allowing parents, and particularly women, to contribute to the workforce. So I think it's really important that we prioritize keeping the schools open as much as possible.
Getting back to school, Lauren Simonetti, Fox News.
Home construction rose 4.9% in October as home build Building remains as one of the bright spots of the economy. The increase pushed home construction to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.53 million homes and apartments, and followed a more modest gain of 1.9% in September. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com, and download the One News Now mobile app for your Apple or Android device. I'm Rusty Pugh.